Hi, folks. Welcome to the next edition of Serverless Crack with myself, Dave Anderson. I'm a technical fellow at Bazaar Voice, I'm author and contributor at the Serverless Edge.
Everyone, I'm Mark McCann, architect at Globalization Partners and author and contributor at the Serverless Edge.
Hello, Michael O'Reilly, architect with Globalization Partners, and I'm a contributor at Serverless Edge. Hello.
Stuff. The last time we did the, we were just coming back from the EDA event, which was great crack. But one of the things that we've been talking about since, there was an awful lot of people talking about kind of what happens when you get to the cloud, what happens next. It's almost like they've already moved to the cloud, and now there's some we're in AWS, whatever, but we're not doing all these things that you're talking about. We're not being event driven, we're not serverless, we're not whatever else. And we've started to almost call it like a second transformation. And I think it is a thing, and it's quite close to the we talk about the flywheel effect in the book, and it's quite close to what we call the second phase, which is challenge, which is do you have the capability to do what you're trying to do? And it's something we've been talking about a wee bit. Any reflections on that?
Go for it, Mike.
Yeah. No, it's actually I think it's a really good observation, and having experienced it a number of times now, it definitely is a thing, right? So like typically when you land in the cloud, when I first kind of started moving things into the cloud, you would typically follow sort of known patterns, right? So like say for example, MVC, you would have had a container for your services, we would have had like a your view tier, your UX, and you would have had your persistence tier with a database, and there would have been sort of defined ways to kind of solve it, and you might have done, lift and shift into the cloud, and you're thinking this is all great and whatever. But then you kind of realize, well, actually, the vast majority of the services and capabilities available to us in the cloud don't kind of follow that sort of pattern, So then you got to look at sort of different ways of working, Particularly, how do you take advantage of it? How do you get the take the benefit of the cloud? And you got to ask yourselves the question, are we maximizing our kind of cloud capabilities? Are we doing what we can for the business? What does 5 years down the line kind of look like, and are we ready for that? And so I think, yeah, when you kind of get into the second phase of the flywheel, it's really looking at how do we take advantage of it? How do we assess our situational awareness and landscape? We talk a lot about this is why things like Worldly Maps are so good. So if you lift and shift into the cloud and you've still got like tons of operations because you've still got to patch your servers, or you've made a decision around some particular piece of technology that you've brought across. What does that prevent you from doing? Like we've done talks in the past about making space for innovation and that sort of thing. So you've got to be able to start, that degree of challenge. We should move from this to this. But in order to do that, you've got to do certain things, skill up, make decisions. So it's definitely a real thing. And I do find that it can be a surprise for a lot of organizations that are just used to working in fairly traditional ways. So yeah, and apologies, and I'm kind of going on a bit on this one, but it's such an important kind of aspect that I don't think we talk about it enough.
I think it's probably a bit debilitating for people, the move to the cloud, and then there's all these options that are now open and available to them that they don't know where to look, and they don't know how to proceed, and they're almost fearful of making a wrong decision or adopting the wrong technology or taking a wrong turn because it's all relatively new, right? And they don't know what good looks like. Their frame of reference for good is all on premise, big data centers or mainframe type stuff. So then this new paradigm. So there's a little uncertainty, I guess, around, hey, we're in the cloud now, but what can we actually do? What does a good cloud solution look like? What's a good implementation for your context, right? So I think there's a bit of that learning curve that people naturally need to go up and just to feel a bit more comfortable about where that next best action is and how do you then proceed to do it. And we consume all this stuff, so we're relatively on. But like things like the Well Architected Framework give you some guidance and at least some feedback on or some questions you can ask yourself about your org and your solution in the cloud and think about what is
yeah.
it?
Yeah, because to your point, like you kind of see it, and we've all been guilty of it in the past, you know, because it's like if you're replicating, so say you're all on prem at the minute, and then you move your workloads into the cloud, but you're still mapped all your existing kind of orgs. So you've still got ops, you've still got DevOps, you've still got sort of op teams kind of provisioning things in the same ways. You haven't really embraced the power of the cloud, you know. Well, so
you're just renting a very pretty data center. I mean, the thing is, I think it's interesting because when you were on prem, someone had to actually buy the computer. So someone had to decide which computer to buy, and then someone had to make an agreement with a vendor to buy something, like someone like Microsoft or IBM. So a lot of decisions were actually already made for you. Mm-hmm. Then someone would decide this is the framework you're going to use. So you actually were very constrained.
Yeah.
But now someone will say, we're going to use AWS. And if they're not on top of it, you have a whole bunch of services there. So you have a massive choice. And a lot mm-hmm. of times people really don't know what to pick.
Mm-hmm.
One of the, and you, like when companies move to the cloud, it's usually as part of a transformation. Like we're all going to the cloud, yahoo. Yeah. And that is the transformation. But the reason why we call this the second transformation is because once you're there, there's another step change you need. And the best person I ever heard describe this was a guy called Sean Braun from 3M. He did a keynote at reInvent, and I think it was 2021. If you just Google like reInvent 3M, and he talked about people move to the cloud and then they measure, so they actually get data on all the things and then you transform. So I thought that was a really nice way of describing it. So you shift, then you measure, get loads of observability, and then you start shutting things down and redoing things, and that's when the actual transformation comes. That's when you get really value driven. So I think he was one of the nicest descriptions I've mm-hmm. seen of it. It was fairly simple, but that was why it was so decent.
I think that's a good point. You have much richer telemetry and observability options when you're in the cloud. You can start to see what things cost to run. You can start to see how your logs and your metrics and your traces and stuff become much more apparent. With a little bit of effort, you can start to extract some of that data and start to see how is things performing, right? You should have a lot more telemetry and a lot more performance insights for your solution that you may not have had in your on-prem solution, especially if you're in a mature company.
And it's certainly something that I think with the book coming out, that there's a lot of, because I think we have so many focuses on enterprise sort of serverless and that type of workload with modern applications, I am finding a lot of like enterprises and people from mature companies come up to say, and the things that they're struggling with is like, we're now in the cloud, but we're having a problem with our account creation, with our observability, with security, with maybe how we deploy, how we provision things. There's all these sort of what I would call like infrastructure type things that they haven't, and the answer is they haven't modernized. A big one is security. We are having problems with serverless because our CISO won't let us do it. And you're like, well, why? It's like, well, they want to install an agent on the Lambdas, but that's not going to work. So they send no Lambdas. You're thinking, right, well, yeah, you need to educate your security team.
Yeah, and I think that second wave of transformation, there's a lot of good techniques that you can bring to bear on that. We talk a lot about North Star. We talk a lot about threat modeling in particular around that to help facilitate those conversations with those groups in a way
in front of them.
Demystifies it a little bit and helps have a common language that you can talk about, especially with those InfoSec and CISO people around. It's good to have things like threat model is a great way to remove some of those barriers for here. This is the threat we're trying to mitigate, right?
Yeah, and it's not bad, it's not that anybody's like stupid or anything. It's a completely different paradigm shift. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the move to the cloud happens quickly. And there's not that people have been left behind, but they've been focusing on other things and they haven't went back to first principles. They just rethink how the software, how their capability works.
Yeah.
So one way of measuring that is like what does good look like? And one is like speed and throughput. And you often see these things come up because they're blocking speed or they're blocking throughput.
Yeah. And I think it's like you're moving away from that big upfront design. You're really trying to shift that design and decision making and architectural decision making onto the teams, because they're the ones who know the business problem and business being best. They should be the ones, making those decisions. So there's a bit of that. They're not used to making those type of decisions. They're maybe not used to making those type of architectural decisions. Like you mentioned, we're done on-prem way up front, many, many years before you actually were actually writing any of your code. But now they have these available to them. So that education and empowerment of your teams and shifting left to your teams is a big part of that, right? Have you enabled them? Have you given them the learning resources and the space to actually assess some of these options to make good design decisions? Like, that's a key part of this transformation. You want to enable high-performing teams, and you can't do that by making all the decisions for them. You got to be able to let them make their own decisions based on their context.
Yeah, and I think that safe space is a big thing. We talk about like that. We do the situational awareness and how to create an environment that is also safe for the organization. Because teams will make mistakes and they will kind of want the. You got to encourage experimentation, but you got to do that in a nice, safe way as well. And I think certainly one of the things I'm kind of finding is. Good enabler of that is to get in front of that, in relation to the AWS organizations and, setting up your having to think about like what sort of policies do we want in place, what sort of services do we want to start leveraging out of the box, and having safety mechanisms built into things like your SCP, control policies in your AWS config. Because those things, without those in place, it's always harder to bring people along. And shape things in there and the way they should be. But if you can create
Complicated.
that, it's not easy. It's not it's and it's definitely an evolutionary type thing,
I
and you've
think
got people have got to move with
we
it.
call
I think
that
one of
enabling constraints, right? Can you give developers and teams that fast feedback loop on actually you're on the right path, and here's some feedback if you stray off the path, and it's not, it, or it almost demystifies it a little bit. So, like you mentioned, the organizational setups, the SCP policies, the config rules, the things like CFN length, CFN nag, all of those things give you a bit of confidence and give the teams confidence that they're not doing anything wrong, right? So, that feedback is a real gift to teams, especially if you're new to the cloud. Here's some good practices. Here's some commodity good practices that have been codified that will guide you on that journey towards, a good cloud solution, right?
Yeah, I think as well that there's a part and with the that second phase of the book, that way of mapping out your capability, you do need to have an honest assessment of the capabilities you have and the teams in the organization, because it's okay that maybe the engineers don't understand security. At least then you know that we've got to do something to level people up, because you do the shift left is a great kind of mechanism, because your teams have to do an awful lot more and there's going to be gaps. So in some ways that second transformation is filling out those gaps, and you end up with more kind of well-rounded teams. And one of the things we talked about, like what does good look like, and probably one of the best books, we'll give Accelerate the plug here by Nicole Forsgren. Accelerate's a brilliant book. If anybody hasn't read it, I would go and buy a copy now. Not the only plug it, like, but it's a cracking book. Ta-da. They've got
My
the four
copy's
key
here somewhere.
metrics.
Hold on.
They've got the four key metrics for, and it's for building and scaling high performance technology organizations. Which it's really it's what really is. It's throughput and stability. If you can deliver fast and in a stable manner, that's you. Like, and they have this concept of sort of elite. They've four different team types, but the elite teams are teams that are like deploying on demand. They're absolutely flying. So that's a great measure that you can sit and look at these, like how many times do you deploy? Is it, a couple times a year, a couple times a month, a couple times a week, a couple times a day, or on demand? It just kind of ramps up. So all these metrics are all laid out. Now, the four key metrics have got a lot of press. People really focus on them. There's something like 27 practices in the book, so it's worth reading the whole book, not just the back cover, but for me, the best thing about this and the reason this podcast, this episode, is really the second transformation. And a good way to gauge if you need that or how far you're on is look at some of the practice in that book.
Oh, absolutely. It's a game changer. And again, it's not, it gives the people who want to try to pursue this improvement and this transformation, gives them support. It gives them a proven, scientifically proven your guidebook
Yes.
to what the good can look like. So you're not fighting those battles on your own based on your own sort of gut feel. You have real, proven industry practices that you can lean on, which we found very beneficial in our sort of cloud journey.
Yeah, and I just
Lock,
throw it.
yeah.
I just throw in as well. Like I know we, so the books, the one go to book I always kind of have in for this particular topic though is the Reaching Cloud Velocity one. You know, in relation to the principles and how to get your teams and spin up new teams. And it was the first time we usually talk about like the mitosis kind of approach. Yes, there you go, there you go. Rip that out. But you know, like how to grow into it. You know, and set yourself, like you look at the principles and stuff they talk about throughout that book. It's a phenomenally good, useful reference, similar to Accelerate, you know.
And of course, we reference both those books in The Value Flywheel
Why,
Effect.
Oh, all right. Yep.
But be order soon. All right, so that's the second transformation. And I think the big thing is really, I think when you're in the cloud, you really need to be, what you really start to have to do is you enable the real transformation. That's that kind of that second transformation. Anyway, so that's the crack. Thanks for listening. That was a good conversation. Please have a look at the blog on theserverlessage.com, on Twitter at serverlessage, and also on YouTube, and pre-order the book. Thanks very much.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye, everybody.